Well, I ask for your prayers this evening. I want the Lord to bless these moments. Really appreciated the song that was sung, both songs. We all need a father to hold our hand. And I was also challenged by the song the group sang, to take our candle. Wherever it's needed. A hospital room where someone is dealing with pain, sickness, depression, whatever. Man on the street who has needs. Children in hospitals dealing with things and questions that they don't understand. Parents dealing with those situations too. Many times there are opportunities for us to take a candle, and maybe someone's candle has been snuffed out. But if we can extend our candle and let theirs take light again, it'll make a big difference to them. Sometimes just a moment can reignite a candle. Let's not lose that opportunity and let it pass us by. This evening, little burden I have on my heart has to do with temptations or tests and choices. Temptations or tests and choices. I'd like for us to first establish a little foundation here. I'd like to try to remind us and reestablish in our minds who God is. God is an absolutely holy, righteous, just being. It is hard for us as human beings to really comprehend the being of God. We know by reading His Word that He is all-powerful. We know by seeing the miracles that He performed and the deliveries and the deliverance of His children, that God has a plan, and it's not always a short-term plan. Many times it's a long-term plan. If you were to go to the Israelite nation when they are in captivity in the land of Egypt and tell them, now God's going to deliver you and you're going to have to cross the Red Sea. But when you get ready to cross that Red Sea, God's going to cause you to stop and set up camp, and a wind's going to blow all night, and you'll go across on dry ground. That'd be hard to comprehend. It'd be hard to comprehend even to stand there and see it happening. But when God told Abraham that I am going to make of you a great nation, I want you to look at the sky, count the stars if you can. I want you to look at the sands by the seashore. Count that if you can. I am going to make of you a nation, as many as those stars are, as many as those grains of sand are. If you can imagine that, Abraham, I'm going to do that for you. He didn't tell him how he was going to accomplish it, though, did he? He didn't tell him that his posterity would be slaves in a foreign land for hundreds of years to increase their strength and their ability, physical ability, and their might, their endurance, to be able to withstand a journey, a hard journey. If you had told them that they were going to have to be slaves to endure, if you had told them they were going to have to feel the whip on their back to be a prosperous nation, they might not have wanted to go that route. But as we worship and serve God day in and day out, we find that we reap the benefits of faithful service to Him, faithful endurance with Him. And they did that. God has established Himself throughout the Scriptures as one who is absolutely holy, absolutely pure, absolutely righteous in all of His deliberations with mankind. There are times as human beings we would probably question the direction that the Lord is taking us. Why is it going this way, Lord? I don't understand. It's not for me to always understand, but it is for me to have faith in God. It is for me to stay in that path, to make the choice to stay in that path so that I can reap the benefit of staying faithful and true to God. This holy and righteous God gave to every one of us, you and me, the ability to choose. He will never take that away from you. You always have the ability to tell. This is what is amazing to me. And I probably said it here, I've said it different places. This holy, righteous, powerful God who holds life and death in His hand, who spoke things into existence, has that power, gives you and me the power to say no to Him. And if we choose to say no to Him, He'll honor that. He will honor that. He gives us the ability to choose. When God created man and He placed them in the garden, you remember the parameters? He told Adam and Eve, everything that I have given you, everything that is here is for you. It is for your good. It is for your sustenance. It is for your maintenance. This is the tree of life. There's one thing I ask of you. And here is where He granted to man the ability to choose. I ask this one thing of you. This tree. This one tree that I have placed in the midst of the garden. It is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't go near it. Don't touch it. Don't eat of it. Because when you do, you will die. Many people will ask the question, why would God do such a thing? Why would God make it possible for them to transgress? Why would God create a being innocent and pure and set before them the opportunity to make this kind of decision? I chose to marry my wife many years ago. I wouldn't want to have her handcuffed to me for her to be with me. I'd rather she'd want to be with me by herself, on her own. I would rather it be her choice than for me to force that by making her be near me all the time. I want her to make choice when she wants to be near me and when she needs her space. I want her to have the ability to exercise that choice. If you force someone to do something against their will, you can get them to comply. But many times inside there is something that pushes back. God could have taken away the choice for man, but then would that have been a real effort on man's part to show love to Him by exercising that choice in doing the right thing? So the God who is all wise, all knowing, all powerful, knew that mankind had to have choice in order for true love to be able to put into existence and to be on display. It had to be that way. So He gave them the ability to choose. I'll say this for you also. That when God gave them the ability to choose, He knew it was possible for them to make a bad choice. And He did not leave them twisting in the wind in the event that they made a bad choice. They made a bad choice. They suffered the consequences of bad choices. Every one of us will. We all will suffer the consequences of bad choices. I thank God that we read in the Scriptures that it tells us that there was a vision that John had as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And I am so glad that God had already in His divine mind a plan set in order that would redeem fallen man if he made that bad choice. I thank God for that, folks. That plan extends to you and me today. I'm going to testify to you this evening. I have found myself on the bad side of choices. I have found myself on the wrong side of choices. I have found myself in that place having to go to a Lord and say, I am sorry. I didn't see that. I didn't understand. And I am so thankful that when we're willing to exercise our will in choice, and when we make bad choice, exercise our will again to follow the Lord, He is there to meet us. He said, I'm not going to leave you hopeless. I will not leave you as orphans, but I'm going to send you a comforter. Amen. So this evening, my little burden is about temptations or tests and choices. I'd like to turn to the book of James. And read in the first chapter, the book of James. We'll begin with the first verse. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Help. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into numerous, various tests. Count it all joy. Do you do that? Lord, help us. My brethren, James said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into these places. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing or lacking nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. You see, when we find ourselves in that temptation, test, trial, whatever you want to call it, when we find ourselves in that place, there is a space that God gives us to go to Him for wisdom. Lord, I'm not sure what to do here. I don't know which way to turn here. I don't know whether I need to stop, just stand still, whether I turn to the right hand, to the left, or turn around and go back and retrace my steps. You ever been there? I've been there. I'm not sure what it is that I need to do with this situation that has just presented itself. James said, count it all joy when you come into a place like that. Because the trying of your faith, the test that you're in, works patience. And let patience have her perfect work, that you may be complete, whole, a complete unit. Not splintered, not slivered, not sliced up, but one unit, not lacking anything. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Well, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That's a very key scripture. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low. Because as a flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass. The flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Blessed is the man that endureth test. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that loved him. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. There's a big difference here, folks. There's a change of direction in this course of Scripture here. God cannot be tempted with evil. God, who is absolutely pure, holy, righteous, cannot be tempted with evil. Nor is He going to tempt you to do any evil. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Some may ask the question, why is there sin in the world? God does not cause sin. God has never caused sin. He permits it because it's choice. He permits you and me to exercise our free choice. He permits sin. He's not happy with sin. He made a remedy for sin. He does not cause sin. He doesn't cause darkness. Darkness is the absence of light. You remember in the beginning, the Scripture says that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Scripture says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Darkness was the absence of light. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. From that time on, folks, the only reason there will ever be darkness isn't because God created darkness. God didn't create darkness. God spoke light. Righteousness, purity, holiness, there always has been an element of that in the world. There always will be an element of that in the world, because there always will be people who love the Lord. He will come back one day to claim His own. The Scripture tells us that He is coming back to claim His own. That tells me that there will be righteous people here. Thank God, folks. Yes, there's a lot of things in this world that perplex me. There's a lot of things in this world that perplex you, I feel sure. There are things happening around us today. We seem to be able to deny the fundamentals of biology with our human intellectual knowledge that we have. We deny natural biology. There's been many times I've sat down in a corner and scratched my head and thought, I know that they taught me that in school. And I know that when God created, He created male and female. I know He did that. And I know that I was always taught that the only way for there to ever be any type of reproduction was for there to be male and female. We've really progressed, haven't we? In our human thinking, we've really done some things, haven't we? But here we are, dealing with these things in our world today. And we're going to be challenged, folks. Children, young people, you are going to be challenged. I have a heart that yearns for you in the world in which you're brought up today, that's taking the fundamental things and you're being challenged on every hand that these things aren't so. Go back to the basics of God. You will be tried. You will be tempted. You will be tested. You have choices to make. You have decisions to make when you are challenged, tested, tempted, tried. You have choices to make. When God said, let there be light, it says there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. He called the light day and the darkness He called night. The truth of the matter is, folks, when we go outside at night, in the darkness, it's not really dark. It's not really dark. There is some light out there. Now, I've been in some dark places. You go down in the depths of the earth in a cave somewhere, and they turn out the lights. Now, that's just about as close to dark as you're going to get. The Scripture tells us that in the time of God proving Himself to Pharaoh, that the darkness was so great in the land of Egypt that it was felt. That's thick darkness. But it's said that in the land of Goshen, there was light. I don't know how all that took place. I only know that God caused it. So when we're dealing with these things around us, temptations, tests, and choices, let's remember that who God is, He is an absolute. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. There is no variableness in Him, neither shadow of turning. He is a constant, always has been, always will be. He is light. Amen. He is hope. You can cling to that light. And when you are in your darkest hour, the light of God can reach down and reignite your candle. Thank God He can reignite your candle and make you able to reignite someone else's candle. Thank God for that. We need that today, folks. If ever there was a time we needed candles burning, it's today. Brother Clint gave me some of these. Little cards. Not a whole lot to it. It's got one of these smart squares on the back. I don't know what the technical name for that is. But you can scan that with a smartphone device and it'll give you information, take you to a link, website, take you to, I believe it's eveninglight.com. And it'll, Church of God Evening Light. You never know when that might light a candle. One little thing like this, you never know when that might light a candle. You will be tempted to blow out your candle. At that point, it's a test. And you have a choice. See, the choice that God gave you to exercise, you have choice. He'll never take it away from you. Back in 13th verse, the first chapter of James. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. In the book of Genesis, chapter 4, there's a very common account I'd like for us to read. Verses 1 through 7. Several years ago, many of you are aware of our grandson, Blake, that came down with leukemia. Now, I may have shared some of these things here. I can't remember where I have. So if I have and you've heard it, please bear with me a moment. Some folks in the community wanted to do a benefit for him, for their family. I was a little uneasy about that. They were a little uneasy about that, the parents. But the community wanted to do that. I wasn't sure how to handle that. But I said, if the community wants to do this, let them do it. Let them do it. Can I tell you this evening that that situation has changed many things about my thinking, not about God, but it has changed many things about the thinking of people in general. I think differently now when I walk into a store and there's a jar sitting on the counter and it asks about helping a family whose child is in children's hospital or battling leukemia. I think differently about that now. I wouldn't have thought differently about that except the test came. Yeah. You see, the test came. God saw something in me. I hope this whole ordeal wasn't just because of me. But He saw something in me. Or He used that occasion to refine something in me. And maybe many other people. I don't know how many other people were touched. I don't know. That's not my business. That's God's business. I know I was. So it caused me to think differently. And I'll share this little story with you. There was a lady that came up to the table and she said, "I can't give blood because I just had hip replacement surgery. Because there was a blood drive that was going on." She said, "My husband can't give blood because he just got through with cancer treatments himself. But," she said, "but I want to do something to help." So if I remember right, I believe it was that she handed $200. One of the ladies who was sitting at the table said, "Ma'am, can I get your name so we can acknowledge?" The family wants to acknowledge those who have tried to reach out to them. She said, "I forgot." And she turned around. She walked away. You see, at that moment, it wasn't about her. It wasn't about having my name on a piece of paper. It wasn't about having a card sent to my address so I can be recognized for something that I did. It wasn't about that at that moment to her. It was about trying to help. And I don't care, as the Scripture says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand does. When you get ready to do your alms, don't blow a trumpet to be recognized and let people see that you're doing your good deeds. Just do it and go on. You see, in all these corners and offshoots in life, things that are going to come your way, if they haven't, they will. There is an opportunity to find that fork in the road. I give people directions to my house. I tell them what street to turn off of the highway. And I said, "Now, when you go down that road, you're going to come to a fork." And I tell them to stay straight at the fork. My house will be the first place on the right. How many forks have you found in the road of life, folks? How many times have you been in a place where there's a choice set before you and you've got to go one way or the other? It's a decision. It's a choice. These tests that you and I have in life are things that God allows to come our way to test us to see if we will improve ourselves, exercise our ability to choose, and we will choose the right thing. Many times when those choices come, you know how it is. You've got a moment. And many times in your heart of hearts, you know, "I should do this. But it's going to cost me some time if I do it." So, it's easy to do like the priest and the Levite and walk by and not be like the Samaritan who is willing to stop and take the man and pour in oil and take him back. Many times it takes effort to do the right thing.
That's right.
It takes effort to exercise the right choice. And when the Scripture says, count it all joy when you fall into these places. Because when you do that, it's an opportunity to be refined. Because when God comes back, He's going to pick the choice. That's what He's coming for. Little children sing a song. I wish we had it and could sing it. It's called, I believe it's His Jewels. When he cometh to make up his jewels, all his jewels, precious jewels, his loved and his own, they will shine in his glory. It's many's the time that you and I go through things in life where the Lord is allowing us to use our choice, exercise our choice, to shine up and make us brighter jewels to adorn His crown. Because He says that those jewels were going to adorn His crown. Do we have that song? Does anyone have that song? It's not in the hymnal. 349. All right, if you would, Sister Lori, write those down, and we'll get to those in a few minutes. It's in the little children we sing to the Lord. It's in that little book, if we have one of those. Anyway, it's jewels, and I remember there was a song. Several years ago, there was a song. It just comes to mind here about a little girl who witnessed, witnessed her father kill her mother. And she was in the house and she was hiding behind the couch. Yes. And when she went to Sunday school, she saw a picture of Jesus. Now, I've never seen Jesus in person. I doubt you have either. But anyway, in this song, to convey the message, when she went in that class, she saw that picture. She said, "I know that man. I've seen him. Who is he?" If I got the lyrics right in my head, "Well, that's Jesus." She said, "Well, I don't really know who he is, but I know he was with me the night that my daddy killed my mommy. He was with me behind the couch." Yes. Now, I don't know if that was a true account or not, but it's true in our world. It's true in our culture. And for those people who are able to overcome, who face that test, and God sends something across their path to give them the opportunity to make choice, to choose one way or the other, if they choose the right, there may be a long-term struggle in life, folks, to get victory. Thank God He's there to give victory. And I have learned, to be careful. I've learned to have long patience with people who are dealing with those kinds of things because they don't understand. They don't feel it. They don't see it. They don't even know how to operate in a world of normal, if there is such a thing, as far as I can understand it. Because all I know about normal is what I was brought up in. And that's all you know about normal too. Whether it was wholesome or whether it wasn't, that's all you know about normal. This song says, When he cometh to make up his jewels, all his jewels, precious jewels, his love and his own, like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, they shall shine in their beauty, his love and his own. He will gather the gems for His kingdom, all the pure ones, all the bright ones, His love and His own. They shall shine in their beauty. Little children who love their Redeemer are the jewels, precious jewels, His loved and His own. You see, the Lord's coming back to claim those who have been tested and have exercised their choice and have let God polish and shine And those who have been in the deepest level of despair and distress, if they've been able to find victory in whatever way they had to do, claw through life to find victory, when the Lord comes back, that's one of my bright jewels going to go in my crown, because my grace and salvation redeemed that one and held that one. And now that's part of what He came for, folks. It's what He came for. We face trials. We face temptations. James said, count it, my brethren, count it all joy. Time, that's hard to do sometimes, isn't it? To count it all joy? Yeah, it is. But He said, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that this is what's going to come out of it. Genesis chapter 4. Adam and Eve made their choice. Eve partook of the forbidden fruit. She brought it to her husband, said, Adam, this is what I've done. He made the choice to partake also. I've often wondered, what would it have been had it been different? I've wondered the pressure that Adam must have felt at that moment. God said, if you partake of this, you'll die. This is the only human being I've got. This is the only one that I have with me. And she partook. And I know that if I partake of this fruit, I know it's going to cost me something. It did.
It did.
They were expelled from the garden. I've often wondered what was it like to be on the outside looking in. Seeing the cherubims with the flaming sword turning every way. No, I could never go back in. Cannot go back in. So they had children. Cain and Abel. The Scripture says, Adam knew his wife Eve. She conceived, bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. In process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. It was a test. It was a test.
Yeah.
Cain got upset. Abel's sacrifice was accepted. Cain's was not. He got upset. He became wroth. His countenance fell. Long face. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, thou shalt be accepted. You know that's what's at the fork for every one of us?
Yeah.
If we do well, we'll be accepted. Do you know that the God of heaven, who set before Adam and Eve choice, the God of heaven who set before them that choice, and then Cain, who was exercising choice at that moment, God came to him and said, Cain, remember, if you do well, you will be accepted. At that moment, Cain had the decision to make. Am I going to stop here? And I've wondered too, what would have happened if Cain had said, well, Lord, what do I do? Can you tell me what I need to do to improve my situation here? If we had that record, how different would this story have fell out, wouldn't it? Lord, I see that Abel's sacrifice was offered, and I see you've rejected mine, and I've been upset about this thing, and you've just told me that if I do well, I'll be accepted, so tell me what to do. Tell me what to do. But it didn't happen that way. You see, Cain was upset because Abel's sacrifice was accepted by this supreme deity. Cain was the firstborn, Abel came along second. Abel's sacrifice accepted. Cain's sacrifice not accepted. Cain looks at that and says, "Humph. What's this all about?" And the Lord says, "If you do well, you'll be accepted." And I want to tell you something else, Cain. If you do not well, sin lies at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Many times we think that this is speaking concerning sin, and I'm not going to say that it's not. But I also wonder here, if the Lord wasn't telling Cain, "Cain, if you'll just choose the right course, Abel will always be subject to you, because you're the firstborn. If you just make the right decision, if you'll just do the right thing here, I'll accept it. And Abel will always have to yield himself to you because you are the firstborn. You'll be the one that my blessing will fall on." He says, if you do well, you'll be accepted. And he said, but if you don't, sin lies at the door. And then he says, unto thee shall be his desire. In other words, I believe what the Lord is saying to Cain, Cain, Abel will always, if you just make the right choice, Abel will always have to yield to you. And you'll rule over him. You will have authority. But that wasn't good enough. Because the scripture says that when they went into the field, Cain rose up and slew his brother Abel. You see, life is full of those forks in the road. If we do well, we'll be accepted. The temptations, the tests, folks, they come to every one of us. Everyone in this room, every adult in this room has come to that place where you've met the fork in the road and there's a choice and decision to make. If you choose wisely, you choose to do the right thing, then you'll have the Lord's blessing and you'll feel His presence walk with you. If you choose not, there's always consequence. Always there's consequence. I thank God who created humanity, made a plan of salvation, who made it possible for me to choose and for you to choose, that He gave us the opportunity to choose the right thing, that He set it before us, and it's set before us here this evening. Joshua said in one place, he was facing the time of a test, and he told the children of Israel, the Hebrew nation, this is an opportunity. Here's what's set before us. Make the choice. Choose which God it's going to be. Is it going to be the God that has delivered us? Or is it going to be the gods that our fathers served on the other side of the flood? But he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, that's the choice that we can make. And He has promised, in His Word, He has promised to fulfill His Word to us. He said, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. And He's coming back. He's coming again. And He's coming to claim His own. All of those who have exercised choice. And while I said a little while ago about the little girl, and I know that's maybe somewhat graphic, but it's repeated over and over throughout our land. People who face those kinds of things. Hard, hard, hard places. And sometimes they don't even know who God is, who Jesus is. They've never heard of it. But we might have that opportunity. So may the Lord help us. I appreciate your time and attention this evening. God bless each one is my prayer. If you're at a fork in the road this evening, if you're at that place and you're trying to make a decision which way to go, choose. Choose the right way. There's a reward. And if you're in that valley of decision and need to come pray, I invite you to come and pray. Come talk to the Lord. He'll guide you. Amen.